Good evening and welcome into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoftall at C70. With me, as always, David Jones, iPop editor. It is Sunday night. It is a day where the Cardinals were on TV, which is a beautiful thing to see when you can see it. And David, as far as we know, we've talked about this, as far as we know, nobody got hurt today. That's when you chalk up a win in your book.
The key phrase, as far as we know, because tomorrow, who knows what we will find out? Who knows who will be missing a hamstring, a ligament, who's torn something, who's got more cracked ribs? You never know with this team right now. But as of right now, made it through 24 hours, you know, make a notch on that board for one day without injuries. We think we're okay for a little bit.
Yeah, this episode brought to you by Mercy Health. Mercy Health, the medical staff for the Cardinals. We are talking about, and we've got three major issues, health issues to talk about. Because you and I were talking right as we started the show that we both could not believe that it has been just less than a week since Sonny Gray hurt his hamstring. That feels like it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Maybe when they signed him, I'm not really sure. And, you know, that overshadowed everything for like a day and a half. And then we got more stuff. It sounds like it's not the end of the world for Sonny Gray, but I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, of course, when you hear something like this, especially this early, when it's your number one pitcher, it's going to freak people out. And until you get some clarity, it's definitely going to freak people out. And then when the Cardinals kind of came the next day and gave their, I guess when Mo gave the little press conference, it was one of those things where you're kind of like, okay, this could be a lot worse, but it does sound like it could be better. And then within a couple days and Sonny Gray talking, it was kind of one of those things where you felt like, okay, this actually doesn't sound too bad as long as we're hearing accurate information. I'm not too concerned with this. By all accounts, it sounds like it's a grade one strain, which a strain is a tear. So that is a little bit concerning, but grade one typically is not that bad. I've had grade two before, and I actually happened to me a grade two hamstring tear last July. I was feeling that thing like 2 months later. And for a pitcher, that would be a big deal. It sounds like Sonny Gray has a grade one. I feel like the biggest issue here is not actually the hamstring. It's going to be that he's not going to be able to throw on his normal schedule. And that's what's going to prevent him from opening day. I think opening day is still a possibility, just slim. I think the home opener is probably more likely, but I don't see this being something where he's going to have to miss more than two starts. The only concern is that he has had this issue come up before. And once you have a hamstring tear of some type, you are very much more likely to have it happen again. So because he's already been prone to injury with his hamstring, there is a chance that this could reoccur. So you want to make sure that it is fully healed. I'm just not overly concerned at this point, which I'll make this comment, and this could be like a tangent for later. I'm actually more concerned about the other starting pitchers more than I am Gray right now, but I'm not too concerned about Gray. Are you ready to jump off the bridge at this point with him, or do you feel like this is something they can kind of weather?
No, I think that it's, I mean, again, everything we've seen, even from the very first moment that this happened, it was not a serious thing. I mean, one, it wasn't an arm issue. That was a beautiful thing. When he left the field, it's not an arm issue. You feel pretty good. It's not an oblique, which tend to linger like all summer long. So yeah, hamstring is not great, but it's not probably like the best possible scenario for this whole thing. And then again, a grade one. I just think it really threw into relief, as most of us have talked about all winter long, what the gap is between Sonny Gray and the rest of the pitchers. Like you said, we can talk about their spring training numbers and exits and things of that nature sometime later on. But you know, we knew that if Sonny Gray went down for any length of time, that there's a good chance that 2024 looks like 2023. And then to have this happen even before the season starts, you know, again, it felt like, man, let's get some insurance. It's something. I mean, we know that Snell and Montgomery aren't coming because that would put them over the luxury tax. It's just not going to happen. But you know, there are people out there, and you mentioned a number of them in a message to me, you know, Mike Lorenzen, Jake Odorizzi, guys that are not going to break the bank, guys that are veterans, guys that have probably can move between the bullpen and the rotation that may be better, especially Odorizzi, than what we have right now. And, you know, to have that kind of insurance would not be the worst thing. But the Cardinals didn't want to go that way. And, you know, for better or for worse, we'll find out if they're right.
Yeah, and if you lose Gray, whether it's this injury, which it doesn't look like it, or to something else during the season, you don't really – I think the rotation looks worse than it did last year to an extent. There's no confidence in it, and the chances of making the playoffs are pretty slim, almost slim to none at that point. And, you know, I'm a big believer for in a lot of cases that you don't put a lot of stock in spring training numbers. I kind of talked about that last week a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't worried about the bats, the lack of home runs. But I do have a little bit of concern when it comes to starting pitchers, especially starting pitchers who are veteran starting pitchers and pitchers who are struggling when you're already past the halfway point of spring. That's kind of where we are right now. Kyle Gibson has not looked good in his starts. Lance Lynn, only one start. And I know the whole story there was Angel Hernandez and that craziness. But even before that, Lynn did not look good. Matz looked good in his first outing, really struggled in his second outing. Now, maybe these guys are working on some things, but it just seems like they're getting hit really hard, which is what we saw last year. The strikeout stuff wasn't there. They were giving up a lot of hits, a lot of hard contact. And so, yeah, if you're relying on these guys, it's going to be a rough season if you don't have Sonny Gray there. You wonder, could some insurance help? Now, I don't know how that's all going to play out if everybody's healthy. You really don't have a spot for people. But what I think is going to be the issue is, like you mentioned, Cardinals cannot afford Snell right now. They cannot afford Montgomery. But we might look back and say, yeah, but what if you had taken that money that you gave to Lance Lynn, or you took that money that you gave to Kyle Gibson, and you only needed to add $8 to $10 million to it to get a guy who was actually a number two or number three for the rotation. Yeah. And I think that is where we may be at the end of the season. We might be looking at this and going, if they had only spent a little bit more money, $8 to $10 million more, they could have had a guy who would have put this rotation over the top and made them a playoff contender. Right now, I'm not even sure if they're at that point. I've kind of soured on the team. I think a Lorenzen could help this rotation. I don't know what to think about him. He was great with the Tigers and then pretty terrible once he got traded after the no-hitter. But I just don't have much faith in this rotation right now. I've kind of soured on it because it feels like this rotation is a very low ceiling type of rotation, and I'm just not confident.
And I think that's fair. I do, you know, again, I think it's also very easy to get to have your mood shifted by what does happen on the field, even if you don't want to necessarily take it as, hey, this is what's going to happen. When they're going out and throwing bad games, it's just kind of reinforce some of those concerns that we already had. You know, we've gone into the season saying, if Lance Lynn is more like he was a couple of years ago, if Kyle Gibson can be that, you know, that solid guy, and then you see them giving up three runs in the first inning on a regular basis, and you're like, you know, we really don't want them eating innings if they're going to, you know, eat them at this rate, right? I mean, if they're going to give up three runs every two or three innings, then that's hard. And we know from last year how tough it was for this team to play behind all the time, right? I mean, there was probably a stretch of like 3 weeks where they were behind in every game before they, you know, and they didn't win a lot of those games. It was tough. The bullpens can only do so much, especially when you're down like that. And, you know, this offense is good. We saw put up 12 runs today, but you don't necessarily want them having to try to dig out of a hole so often. So, yeah, I think there's concerns. I don't know, you know, again, spring, all that kind of stuff, and maybe it'll get better as it goes along. But I don't know. I'm still thinking the Cardinals are maybe a little bit better than you think they are, but you're right. It's still not a situation where this team wins 90 games. It's very, very hard to imagine that. Even even best case scenario doesn't really see that happening.
Okay, you just used a word and a phrase there that were in my mind. For one, you said if, and then you said best case scenario. And that's what's been replaying in my mind, because this is what we heard last year. It was if Jack Flaherty gets back to the Jack Flaherty of 2019, if Steven Matz is the pitcher that they traded for and is healthy, if Adam Wainwright returns to his form from whenever, if Miles Michaelis is healthy and pitches like blah, blah, blah. Everything last year had to basically work out to best case scenario for them to have a chance, and it didn't. Almost all of those guys fell below expectations. I feel like that's where we are again. It's if, which I think Sonny Gray is, you're pretty solid there. I don't think that's going to be an if type thing. I mean, you could say if he's going to be healthy, but I think you know who you're getting. But if Miles Michaelis bounces back, is there a given for that? Absolutely not. If Lance Lynn is more like 2022, or I guess 2023 and not, no, yeah, 2022, not 2023, is there any guarantee of that? Absolutely not. I mean, that's a full year away. He's a year older. If Kyle Gibson can be not 37 years old, if Steven Matz is healthy, that's where we are. You know, it, when you start playing that best case scenario again, what are the chances of this stuff happening? It's very, very unlikely, because like I said, these guys I feel have such a low ceiling outside of Sonny Gray. I would actually feel a little more confident with somebody like Zach Thompson to have a potentially have a better season than these guys. I think it's probably lower floor, higher ceiling there. But I'm just struggling, especially when I look around and I'm looking at the Cubs rotation and saying they've got steel. Imanaga, it sounds like all reports have been pretty good on him. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch right there the Cardinals may struggle with. I'm looking at Cincinnati. And of course, there's some if then with them too. Montas was named their opening day starter. The guy could go out there and be dominant, or he could go out there and he could have a 5 ERA. Hunter Green, tons of talent. Don't know how he's going to use it, but I like Cincinnati's rotation. And Brewers, you're still, they're not looking as good, but you still got to deal with Peralta. I think they're going to struggle, but hey, they could still beat you in a series. I am struggling at this point, looking at this rotation. Somebody made the comment the other day. They said, I can't believe that these are our only choices because of how old the candidates are. And I wasn't sure if they were talking about the presidential race or talking about the Cardinals rotation. I think that is where I'm stuck right now, because I feel like you almost know what you're going to get. And it's going to be mediocrity at this point with the rotation. And it really has caused me to sour on my overall prospects for the team. I like the lineup. I like the bullpen. I'm just not sold on the starting rotation, and I feel like this team may be headed to 500.
Are you saying we need to make St. Louis great again? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be. I was going to say, do we need a third party, aka a number three? We need a number three. We need a second party, a third party, a four. We got plenty of fours right now.
Yeah, we got a lot of those. It's something for sure. And it's, again, so many times we've gone into spring, out of spring, worried about something or very excited about something, only to see it completely turn around when the lights and the season get started. So hopefully, again, there is a if, there's a hopefully, there's the best case scenario type of thing. But hopefully, you know, if nothing else, at worst, hopefully the Cardinals are willing to not dig themselves a hole, right? If the end of April, if Lance Lynn or Kyle Gibson has a 6 ERA, you hope that they're willing to make a move, right? That this isn't Adam Wainwright who gets to pitch whenever he wants to. These are two guys that have come in on a one-year contract, basically, and if they're not getting it done, you figure out some way to get, you know, move them to the bullpen, you know, fake an injury, whatever the case may be, but you've got to do something and not let them be out there every 5 days. And, you know, and if they aren't, you know, if they're doing well, then great. But I do think that this, you know, we've talked about aggression out of this front office in the winter and didn't really see it. I mean, they got out and got the three guys early, but, you know, that was really kind of it. And we can argue the Lynn and Gibson signings, what that was like, why they did that. But we have to see some sort of aggression out of the front office you know, early on. And I'm not saying that's a fire Ollie type of situation. I'm just saying they have to make sure that if somebody's not pulling their weight, they don't give them so much rope that they hang everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, we may see games like today. Games like today may be needed for the Cardinals to be successful, like a 12-9 game. Mm-hmm. The bullpen is looking good. Kittredge, Riley O'Brien, Helsley, the guys that we believe are going to be in the bullpen are looking great right now. And so if the Cardinals can get to the seventh inning with a 3-run lead, even if that 3-run lead is 9-6, I feel pretty good about that. But that's going to require the offense to come through and the pitchers to be decent. I don't know if we're going to get that. What I worry about is we're going to see what we did last year where the pitchers give up 2 or 3 runs in the first inning and it kind of just deflates the offense from there. Because it really is tough to bounce back from that when you haven't even batted yet and you're already down a couple runs. Now, if these guys can go 5 or 6 innings and give up 3 to 4 runs, I feel like the Cardinals have a good chance to win any of those games. But I'm just concerned right now that we're going to see much of the same from last year where it's, guy goes 4 or 5 innings, maybe gives up 5 to 6 runs, and you know the Cardinals are down 5-0 in the third inning, and you're thinking, okay, I can turn this one off.
Well, the good thing is that this offense is completely 100% ready to go. There's no problems whatsoever there, right? I mean, it's not like anybody's missing. No, of course that's not the case. Because this week, as we have continued to kind of wait to hear about Sonny Gray's hamstring, there was a day this week that the Cardinals had a press conference, or not a press conference, Mo got out there, let the media talk to him, about injuries, and Sonny Gray's name wasn't even mentioned. I don't think that was that's how this week has gone. Tommy Edman, let's start with there, because this wrist issue, we've known it's going to be an issue for a while. But more and more, this is sounding like this is sounding almost like if Tommy Edman is back by the All-Star break, count it a victory. Because this thing has lingered on, and he's continued to have to take rest, and nobody seems to have a real good idea of what the next steps are.
Yeah, I think this is making the Brandon Crawford signing make a whole lot more sense. Because I'm getting to the point now where I think I'd be very surprised if Tommy Edman's not put on the 60-day IL to begin the season. Maybe not, but it doesn't sound like he's playing any time in the first calendar month of the season. I don't know if this is, and there have been different things out there saying like they kind of got a second and third opinion and things just aren't progressing, but now they know a path forward, which is great. But you wonder how long the Cardinals have been aware that this is just not headed in a good direction right now. You know, they've talked about being optimistic that he'd be ready for opening day, but you wonder, have they known for maybe a month or so that it's probably not happening? And so that's why they were looking. I don't know. Part of me thinks that if they were aware of this earlier, they may have tried to sign somebody with a little more, I don't know, with a better bat to possibly fill in. But he doesn't appear ready anytime soon. We've talked before, I think on and off air, that of all your starters, Edman is probably the most expendable because he's not a power guy. He's not even always a high average guy. And you have Dylan Carlson, who's basically just going to fill in behind him, who has been a starter before and plays great defense and could still impress with the bat. So I'm not worried about Edman's injury too much. What worries me is just now there is a lack of depth in the outfield because of that injury.
Yeah, I have never been fully on the Tommy Edman bandwagon. I think most people that have listened to me here and there probably are aware that I'm not necessarily as down on him as like Ben Humphreys is over at Cardinals Off Day. But you know, he's always been a nice piece to the puzzle. But the Cardinals tend to wind up having him play a bigger role than I think he probably should. And that really kind of was indicated when they moved into center field, when they have all these other outfielders, which they don't have anymore. So I'm really hoping that Dylan Carlson can take this opportunity and do something with it. And if that's the case, then maybe Tommy Edman, when he does come back, becomes that guy that can play outfield, or we'll play short, or we'll play second, or we'll play whatever, and actually not worry about if he's, you know, don't worry about him being a starter, that you can move him around. But he's also got to come back. And this wrist injury, which is, you know, wrists are always a dangerous thing for hitters, for sure. Even one that has not necessarily been league average. And I don't know. I'm very interested to see what this all develops, because this does feel like one of those things that, you know, because it was mentioned at winter warmup and, oh, he'll be fine for opening it for, you know, for spring training and definitely for opening day. And now here we are, you know, less than 3 weeks away, and he still has barely picked up a bat and has not been a live pitcher at all. So, you know, I don't know. I'm very interested to see how that works out. I do think it's it has a chance to be for the benefit of the Cardinals. If Dylan Carlson can take over this and play like we think he can play, the Cardinals are probably better than they would have been if Tommy Edman was there. But we have to wait and see if Dylan Carlson can do that. And that's definitely a question mark.
And, you know, he's only 25 years old. I think people still forget about that. I can't remember somebody said it either on Twitter, on radio, or maybe or something like that. But they said that Dylan Carlson is the age right now that Randy Arozarena was when the Cardinals traded him away. Just that is how young he still is. Dylan Carlson is only 2 years older than Victor Scott II. So this is a guy that really got thrown into the mix very early on, right out of high school, essentially, and then came up during the whole COVID season when everything was a mess. But at the same time, at some point you have to produce. He's been in the majors long enough that he actually has to show that he can produce. You know, there's been that unevenness between where he's batting left or right side. You'd really like to see that getting straightened out a little bit. The good thing with him is you're always going to get good defense, no matter if he's playing center field or a corner position, but he needs to hit. He's got the opportunity right in front of him. He needs to go out there and do it. He's not hitting well in spring, but it's one of those things. You look at the numbers, he's batting 150. I've watched a few of his at bats. He's gotten robbed a couple times, line drives that were right at people, deep fly balls that got caught that might go out in other places. But then there's other times where he has struck out on just pitches where he just looked completely fooled and looked overmatched, where it looked like maybe he was guessing and just completely guessed wrong. And it just was ugly, and you could see the frustration in his face. So he's going to get the chance, I think. But because of another injury, it could switch up things a little bit more.
Yeah. Because that's, that is the other big news of the week, is the fact that, Lars Nootbaar, which I guess probably was on Sunday, I think, or something. I don't know if we ever heard when he did this. It sounds like, I thought he had done it diving for a ball in a game. Then I saw something about maybe he just fell. I don't know exactly, but whatever the case may be, landed on his ribs, cracked two of them. And, you know, best case scenario is he's out until mid-April. And that is probably, I mean, the Cardinals haven't ruled out opening day, but I'm not sure the Cardinals have ruled out opening day for Ozzie Smith yet. So I feel like it's mid-April at best. Could be May. Again, the Cardinals have this tendency, and I think I sent maybe a message to you this week about it, but the Cardinals have this tendency to stockpile and stockpile and stockpile. And then the moment they decide to clear out that stockpile, they actually need it. You know, I mean, Richie Palacios would look really nice over here right now. And hopefully Andrew Kittredge will make us not even think about that trade. But you know, to have him, Tyler O'Neill got hurt in Boston, so I don't think that makes a whole lot of, you know, wouldn't have been any different here probably. But, you know, there's just, you're getting down into this idea. Now we're looking at, you know, either Michael Cianni or Victor Scott II. And we'll talk a little bit about what that situation looks like now. But, you know, losing Newt is just a hard thing early on, right? I mean, that's just, not that he's the key to this offense, but he was a really kind of really valuable complementary piece.
Yeah. He's a guy that hit right-handed pitching pretty well. And so you really want him in that lineup, played good defense as well. It seems like a kind of a freak injury. They say it happened last Saturday during a fall. It was kind of self-inflicted, his own elbow hitting his own ribs, which is hard to do, but somehow he pulled that one off. You just hate hearing that. And we've talked about this off air, but you kind of start wondering, is the injury prone title going to get thrown around with him? Because it seems like there are some random freak injuries that happen. Some are typical injuries, some are nuts. You just never know. But you just wonder what's going on there. Now, I will say his injury is so different from Sonny Gray's, because with Gray's, it's one of those things that you're never quite sure if it's fully healed and it can recur again. But it should heal quickly. With Newt's, you're looking at an injury that could take some time to heal, but once it heals, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You're not going to really have to worry about that again, unless you do the same thing. Don't elbow yourself. But we don't know how long that could take. Guys heal faster than other guys from this. And so is he ready for opening day? Maybe. I kind of doubt it, especially if he's having trouble breathing right now. But again, he's another guy that it could be home opener, maybe a little bit after that. He's there. But it creates a very interesting outfield dynamic. I'm kind of curious who you think today would be their three typical starters, because I had three in mind, and I've seen people go the other way with it.
Well, I think that, I mean, obviously Jordan Walker is out there. I think Dylan Carlson's in center, maybe. Carlson might be in left, and Ciani may be in center, honestly. I don't know. That's my guess. But then you look at today, where Victor Scott led off, played pretty much the entire game, I think, and Ciani just came in late in the game. Maybe because they know what they've got in him and they don't feel like they have to adjust as much. But, and then you've got, yeah, then you've got Burleson in there. And I just have trouble imagining Jordan Walker and Burleson in the same outfield, especially with a pitching staff that already has problems with pitch to contact or striking people out that are going to pitch to contact. I just don't see those two guys out there at the same time. As much as both of them have apparently made strides, they're still not average fielders. So that's my thinking. I think it would be probably some sort of mix of Walker, Carlson, and Ciani. But, you know, who knows? It could change in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, see, I was kind of going a different way, and then I've heard people go a different way. I was kind of thinking that perhaps you go ahead, let's bring up Victor Scott, let him play center field, put Dylan Carlson in a corner position because he can play that as well. And you've got two strong outfielders right there. And then you put Jordan Walker out there as well, which today had a rough play out in the outfield. He's still learning, but at least you got two guys that are really, really good out there defensively. And then Walker kind of coming along. There's some issues with the bats when you do that. And I understand. And then also pitching matchups and things like that. But that's kind of what I was thinking. I've seen some other people suggest that you put Victor Scott out in center, and then you also play Walker and Burleson. That, to me, goes to exactly what you were talking about. Even though Victor Scott may be able to cover a lot of ground, you're putting a lot of inexperience and not the most athleticism out there if you've got Burleson, and I think you could have a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good to me. I mean, Burles is going to be on this team. I think he's going to DH some. He probably will play some outfield at some point in time. I just don't think it's the same day that Jordan Walker is playing out there. I just don't think you could do that. If you've got, you know, a healthy Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer in your rotation, then yeah, sure, maybe you could do that. But I don't think you do that with Lance Lynn, who's hopefully going to keep those balls in the ballpark this year, but they still may be in the air. And you want them caught. I don't know. The Victor Scott thing is just so fascinating. And I don't rule anything out, because the Cardinals proved with Jordan Hicks that anything can happen, right? I mean, a guy that was barely on the radar all of a sudden makes the jump to St. Louis and did well, obviously. And that's why he's not here now, because he's a free agent, because it's been 6 years. But if they think that Lars Nootbaar is going to be back in a month, I just don't see them. Or if Tommy Edman is going to be out there in a month, I just don't see them pulling the trigger on Victor Scott and going. I mean, the guy still needs some experience, I think, at AAA. But even if he's ready for the major leagues, I just don't see them adding him to the 40-man just to let him play for a month and then go back to Memphis anyway. I just don't think that's the way they want to do it. Once they add him to the 40-man, I think they want him in the major leagues for an extended period of time. Now, if neither one of those guys is going to be back till the All-Star break, then maybe you're talking about it. But then, like you said, not only there are some issues, right? I mean, if Victor Scott, we have to know, we don't know what his bat's going to be like. We know he can run. We know he can hit at some point in time, but how long is it going to take him to hit major league pitching? And if you've got him at the top of the lineup and Mason Wynn at the bottom of the lineup, who again will hit, but will he hit immediately? You could have, an inning roll over and all of a sudden you've got two outs really, really quickly. And you're kind of digging a hole, for Goldschmidt or whoever's hitting second. So I think there's a lot of excitement about Victor Scott, and I get it. And I would love to see him on this team. I just don't think the Cardinals are going to go that way unless he hits like 350 the rest of the way.
I've said this many times, I'm a risk averse guy and I'm pretty slow to bring up the rookies and the young guys like that. But after thinking about this, I think I'm all in on bringing Scott up. I know there's some issues there with some roster management and things like that, but unless Newt is only going to be out for maybe like two or three games, if he's actually going to be out maybe a month, I say you bring up Scott and you let him play. Maybe he's playing four games a week or something like that, but let the guy play. I don't know if the bat's ready. It probably isn't, and he probably needs some time in AAA. But, there's part of me that doesn't care if they say, hey, every time you go up there, hit it on the ground or bunt. That's all, we just do it, because you're going to get on base and somehow. I mean, he's a guy that you almost don't mind if he hits into a fielder's choice if he's the one that gets on first base, because he may be at second and third like Ricky Henderson within two pitches. I'm typically not that guy. I would say let's find a different way to do it. But the alternative right now might be Ciani. And I think I would rather see Victor Scott up there playing. Maybe pull a Vince Coleman where you tell him you're up for 20 days and he's out there to prove you wrong. I don't know. But I do worry about the bat, especially if you've got Scott, Carlson, Wynn all in there together. You don't know what you're going to get. You may even have Herrera some days. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think you have your best chance of winning if he's in the lineup over somebody like Ciani at this point. And I think the way this season's going to start, you need all the wins you can get to start off the season. So if you can utilize his speed, find ways to get him on base however you can, even if it's as a pinch runner late in the close game and let him take off, you do it. And if he's only up for a couple weeks and you got to send him back down, so be it. But I'm right now worried about the Cardinals coming off the road trip at the beginning of the season and being so far down that it's going to be tough to get out of that hole. So I say you play your best guys, whoever you got. And if that's Victor Scott, let him go. I like that they're putting him in games right now and letting him bat at the top of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that. See if he can prove himself. See if it looks like he can hit big league pitching. And if so, let him play.
I mean, I get all that, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that, but like you said, he comes up and does a Vince Coleman, make them send him down. Except that, when Tommy Edman and Lars Nootbaar come back, he's going to get sit down, right? I mean, even if he's hitting 350, how do you not, those guys are not going anywhere, right? I mean, he's either going to sit the bench and not play, or, I mean, just from roster standpoints and option issues, he's going to go back down. And if nothing else, the Cardinals open another can of worms there too, which, like you said, maybe you worry about that down the road and you deal with the fallout later. I just don't see them going that way. I just think that I'm very interested. It is interesting that they have left that door open. And a lot of times when they have left that door open, players have walked through it. I mean, we had the same conversation last year, right, with Jordan Walker. He's having a great spring, but there's no way they're going to take him north because of 40-man roster, and there's no place to play him, and blah, 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 blah. And then they took him north, and then they sent him down. So I hate to get too, this is what's going to happen, because obviously I have no clue. But I would just be really, really surprised if they risked his development by sitting him up there. Now, again, maybe he has another, whatever the left 15 games that are left in spring or whatever the case may be, and he doesn't give him a choice. We will see. I would be very surprised at that.
Yeah, I would be surprised too if they do it. I don't think they will, but I'm very interested to see if they do. Mm-hmm. And, if he does do what you said and he's hitting 350 and playing great defense, you can find spots for Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman can become your super utility guy and play all over the diamond if he needs to. But if Scott's hitting the ball and playing defense with that speed, yeah, you can absolutely find places to store Tommy Edman, other places, and find ways to make the roster work. Now, if Scott's not hitting, yeah, then you probably have to send him down. I know one of the big things with young guys like this is you don't want to bring them up and cause them to get so exposed that it stunts their development. Right. And we've seen that happen with like pitchers like Jordan Hicks, where it feels like the Cardinals rushed him too quick. We've seen him do it with some batters too, as well, where it felt like they rushed them up because they had to, and it kind of was a setback for them. So I definitely don't want that, but he just seems like the kind of person and the kind of talent who will love and relish being in the spotlight. I know there's issues there with options and the 40 man and stuff like that, but If it's going to be a while before you're getting Edman or Newt back, let the guy play. That's where I'm at right now. I don't think it happens, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, not only is it, yeah, you can find a place for Tommy Edman to play, but you only get 13 guys on a roster, right? I mean, 13 hitters, 13 pitchers. And, you know, who's going – I mean, they're not going to cut Brendan Crawford and Brandon Crawford and Mike Carpenter because their leadership is way too valuable. And, you know – Ivan Herrera is your backup. I mean, you start running out of options of how to make the roster work pretty quickly. You know, a guy like Siani comes up, and if it's a month and he goes back down, no big deal. And again, you're right. It does matter. If Tommy Edman and Lars Nykmaer both aren't going to be gone out for a lengthy period of time, or at least I think so, I think that gives a better, much better chance. But as much as I would like to see that, I think you're right. I think he's a guy that could really enjoy it. And we've talked about the personality that a team with him and Wynn and Walker could have, even with all that leadership. so I think that it could be a lot of fun, and we'll see. But I mean, if I'm putting odds, I'm thinking 80-20 against, if not higher, just because this organization is not impulsive, unfortunately, at times, right? I think we would have liked them a little bit more impulsive this winter and things like that. But, you know, I think that they look at all of these things and, you know, sometimes they judge that it's worth it, like with Jordan Walker last year. I would be very surprised if they judged it worth it here, but they might. You're right. They don't want to get into a big hole, and that road trip to start the year is tough. It's tough to go to the West Coast anytime, but especially when the Dodgers have just bought every single player on the planet. And so you have to go play that all-star team. And then you get the Padres with Mike Schilt, who's probably going to be a little bit motivated to face the Cardinals. I'm not sure. I don't know. I think it is definitely a position battle that we did not expect when we got into spring. We talked about the last couple of spots of the bullpen, and that would probably be the only thing that we would have to worry about because everything else is locked up, but baseball finds a way.
Yep. You're making an assumption about the roster, though, and you're making the assumption that guys aren't going to hurt their backs doing deadlifts again, putting them on the IL and opening up spots.
Which is fair.
Because apparently we lift with the back with this team, as we learned last year. But yeah, you know, if perfect world, everybody's healthy, it does create an issue because, yeah, really, there's only one bench spot available, which is weird, especially now with a 26-man roster, and you've only got one bench spot available, essentially. So it does put them in a bind. But you just... I'd just be surprised if everybody stays healthy that long. Now, maybe they do. It's completely possible, but unlikely. And when you've got guys on your roster who are 37, 38 years old, they may go down with a bad back every once in a while.
Well, it depends on, what their sitting technique on the bench is.
don't slouch.
Yeah. Would hope that they're not actually in a position where they're going to hurt themselves on the field very often, but who knows? I mean, Matt Carpenter doubled today. He's got a home run. He's got like two hits this spring and they're both for extra bases. So, that's more than we thought we would get out of Matt Carpenter all year long. So there's something, I guess, looking for some sort of silver lining to get out of this thing.
other than leadership?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're gonna, they've so far led them straight to the injured list. so maybe we've got a little top heavy in the leadership point of view. I don't know. All right. Well, that is there anything, as we've run a little bit long, because that's what happens when everybody gets hurt. Is there anything from this week that doesn't relate to injuries that you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Well, I was really happy the Tar Heels beat Duke last night, but that's probably not what you're actually talking about.
I was concerned about.
Oh, okay.
College basketball really didn't exist this year.
Well, shout out to Thomas Ajayi, going 4-for-4 today with 6 RBIs, which he's had a great week, not just one game, but a great week. That trade just keeps looking better and better. So it's fun to see him out there. I like when I see his name in the lineup. Jordan Walker seems to be driving the ball a little bit better right now. Little start or slow start to spring, but I like what he's doing right now. And then the bullpen. I mentioned them earlier, but you know, I've seen all over Twitter tonight that Palacios hit a home run that was, I guess, crushed, and you know, people going crazy over that. That's great for him. Kittredge, I believe his ERA is still 0 right now in spring, and he's looked really, really good. And so I'm pretty excited about the bullpen. It's not going to be a bullpen where, you know, they come in, you're like, oh, I can turn this one off, game's over, Cardinals win. But it's also not going to be the opposite where you're going to be thinking, okay, they're going to blow this one, let's see how they lose it. At least I don't think so. So yeah, those are a couple things from the weekend, or at least the week that has been, that I'm kind of encouraged about. So not all doom and gloom, there is some positive stuff out there. Anything that I'm missing that stood out to you?
You know, hard to say. You know, I think it's very, really great to see that Angel Hernandez is in midseason form. I mean, you just don't see a guy come into spring training and be ready to go like Angel Hernandez is. I mean, it's just, it's incredible to be ready to toss somebody, not only to toss somebody out of a game, but to toss somebody out of the bullpen after they've left the game. I mean, where are you going to see that except for when Angel Hernandez is on his game? That's just incredible. Other than that, I mean, everything's kind of, you know, down. I do think that, you know, watching today's game, and it's the only game I really got to see this week. Of course, most games weren't televised this week anyway, but
yeah, exactly.
You know, Alec Burleson looked pretty good hitting today, and he's hitting .375 for the spring. You know, not a lot of power, but guess what? Nobody else has any power either. They did hit home runs this week. You were right. They hit their first home run on Tuesday. Not the 3 that you projected, but they did hit one. Where are Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery? Just checking.
I believe they're eating dinner somewhere, not with a team. I am baffled by that one. But I think Ken Rosenthal is too. So at least I'm in good company. Yeah. Me and Tiny Ken are both confused about it.
I saw that Snell posted something on his Instagram or something, like googly eyes or something, making people think that something was going to happen. Maybe it's just,
and there's been some talks that he, I don't know. I guess he's made comments about being interested in pitching for the Angels, perhaps. And they would have the money to do it. I just don't know if they will. I believe, and this is me just throwing this out there. It's not like I have a source or anything, but I think Montgomery and the Red Sox, I think that's going to happen. I think they just may be bidding against themselves right now. But I think that's inevitable, and we'll see it happen. You've seen how well my predictions have gone so far, but I'll say it again. If both guys aren't signed by the time we record next week, I will be completely shocked out of my mind, because they're not going to be ready for opening day. They will. Sonny Gray will be ready before they are. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think they have to sign by this time next week. But I enjoy being wrong, as people know well.
Well, we will find out when we come together again next week. So until then, for David, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Rosenthal with a new baseball. Stands on, looks in, has his sign. The pitch for Mark Ellis. High, 2-2. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a foul. Ellis stays alive. Had a good rip at that 99-mile-an-hour fastball. I told you he was getting loose here. And another new baseball to the mound. No one on, two outs. And a 2-2 pitch. Trevor Rosenthal, dealer. Swing and a miss, took him out, and your Cardinals are National League champions for 2013. They beat the Dodgers, and they're going to the World Series. They're 19th. 19th National League final. They're celebrating on the field.